2006 is an election year, not a presidential election year, but there will be a lot of things on the ballot. And so you're going to be hearing a lot of campaign commercials during the year and politicians wanting to convince you one way or the other that they need your vote so they can either get in office or stay in office. And it all comes down, of course, to you going and voting whenever Election Day rolls around. There actually is kind of a tiny little Election Day going on today, and there will be more once we get into the spring and into the summer, and, of course, big Election Day in November. One of the things that may be different in this election year and future election years is the requirement that when you go to vote, you prove that you are who you say you are by showing a photo ID. Take out your driver's license, show it to the workers there at Election Central or whatever that place is called in your neighborhood, and then you sign the book and get your ballot and go off and file your secret ballot and vote for whoever or whatever it is you want to vote for. Seems like a pretty good idea, right? Except that there are people who don't like it. One of those people is on the phone with me now. Her name is Michelle Bishop. She represents Paraquad, which is an organization that advocates for the disabled. She is, tell me if I have your title right, Michelle, you are the Disability Vote Project Organizer for Paraquad. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's wrong with this photo ID plan?
What we're concerned about with the photo ID legislation is that there are a number of Missourians, about 170,000 to 190,000, that don't have a driver's license, and that's the most common form of photo ID. There are particular groups in the population that are less likely to have a driver's license, and people with disabilities are among those. Due to their socioeconomic status or the disability itself, they don't need to drive or are unable to drive. So they're less likely to have that ID, and our concern is that that's going to reduce voter participation. Someone who knows they don't have that ID won't bother to show up on election day.
Okay, now I think the bill actually covers this, but I got to ask this simple question, and I'm not arguing with you, I'm just curious about this. How is it possible to live in the 21st century without at some point having to show a photo ID for something? How do you have a bank account? How do you get anything accomplished without at some point having to show somebody in the world a photo ID?
It is a good question, but it does happen. There's also going to be some restrictions on where that photo ID has been issued. If you go to Washington University and you have your student ID with your photo on it, that doesn't count. You have to have a state-issued photo ID. So it does happen. If we've got almost 200,000 Missourians who don't have one, it is a concern.
Okay. Somebody who goes to Washington University, are they a resident of Missouri? Would they be able to vote in Missouri, or would they probably vote in whatever hometown they are from?
They can register to vote in Missouri, and we do have students at Washington University who are native St. Louisans, who would be residents of this state by birth.
Then they would have a Missouri state ID, wouldn't they?
If they have a state-issued ID or a driver's license.
Yeah.
Depending on whether or not they drive. If that student at Washington University was born in St. Louis, has voted their whole lives, and they're blind and unable to drive, they wouldn't have any need to have a driver's license.
How did they prove to Washington University that they were who they said they were?
That is a good question, probably through a Social Security number. We have ways of doing these things without requiring a photo identification.
Okay, but I'm really curious about this because we live in an age of people always talking about identity theft and and fraud and all of these things. And it seems to me that the way we would verify that you are Michelle Bishop, I can't verify it over the phone here, but if you were to come down here, I could say, you know what, prove to me that you're Michelle Bishop from Paraquad. And you know, you could hand me a business card, but that's not 100% proof. If I saw a state-issued identification card that had your picture on it, I go, okay, well, this looks like you. Maybe it looks like you a couple years ago. Maybe you changed your hair. Maybe, like me, you lost your hair. Whatever it is. It doesn't seem like it's all that hard for somebody to do. Plus, under this new bill that has been proposed in Jeff City, people who don't have a driver's license can still get a non-driver's license ID, can't they?
Yes. There's a couple important things to keep in mind here. The first is that, no, there isn't really a completely foolproof form of ID. It is possible to get a fake driver's license, things like that.
As any college student knows. You know, when you said people at WashU don't have an ID, I thought, no, they all have them. They're not necessarily the right one, but they all have them.
Well, we have a couple concerns. There are provisions in this bill that you can be issued a state-issued non-driving ID. This
right.
is something that states do issue. Our concern there is that you still have to be able to get this ID. For people with disabilities, there are extra concerns. If you don't have your own transportation, you have to rely on public transportation. If you require personal attendance services, these things take a lot of time and they cost money.
Okay, the bill says, and I'm quoting now, persons residing in convalescent nursing and boarding homes shall be issued a non-driver's license through a mobile processing system operated by the Department of Revenue at no cost.
Which will not reach large numbers of people with disabilities who are living in the community independently in their own homes.
Okay.
There isn't really a way for us to reach all of them.
Okay. How do those people get out to vote?
That is a good question. They can have transportation arranged through a Center for Independent Living on Election Day. They can use public transportation. There are ways to do it, but what we're talking about is the fact that it's going to make it more difficult. There's going to be extra time, extra money, and extra steps involved in voting, which is a basic not only right, but responsibility for all citizens of Missouri.
All right, so how do we cut down on fraud? Claire McCaskill, the auditor of the state of Missouri, in her audit 2 years ago, the auditor of the St. Louis Election Board, said that there were something like 24,000 questionable voters in St. Louis. So how do we get around that? How do we actually find a way to verify that the person who's going to the poll to cast their ballot is that person?
To be honest with you, it's not a proven problem anywhere in the U.S. The Missouri Secretary of State's office will tell you that in the past 6 years, there have only been 5 known convicted cases of voter fraud in the state of Missouri.
No, that's not true. In 2000, Becky Cook said 135 people who were not registered voters were permitted to vote at polling places in the city of St. Louis.
Well, honestly, I've been to the hearings for this bill. I've listened to the testimony, and people delivering testimony in favor of this bill have said that there is not proven widespread voter fraud threatening election security, but that this bill is meant to address the perception of voter fraud.
Okay, but even if there are only 100 people who are voting when they're not supposed to be voting, shouldn't we still deal with that problem?
That is important. That is important, but what we're talking about is spending a lot of taxpayer money and government time addressing a problem that isn't really a widespread problem and that is not threatening election security.
Okay, well, that's different than we're discriminating against people who are disabled and elderly. That's a different question then, because I don't really see how we're discriminating against people. And besides, can't people who can't get out to get themselves an ID, can't they vote by absentee ballot?
I actually never made a claim that there was intentional discrimination going on here. My concern is simply that if we are trying to address voter fraud, we should pay very close attention to do it in a way so that we are not eliminating certain segments of the population unintentionally.
Okay, but answer the other question, which is, can't somebody who can't get out to get themselves a photo ID, if it's too much to do that, but not so much that they go out and they actually vote, couldn't they avoid having to go out at all by just filling out an absentee ballot, which would come to them through the mail?
It's possible, but you do have to be a person with a disability who is unable to go to the polls to get onto that list. We also don't want to discourage people from the right to show up at their polling place on election day and cast their ballot. What we're concerned about is making the process more complicated and more difficult for people to get out and vote. Following the Help America Vote Act, we want to make it easier. We want to get Americans out there and voting. Everyone knows that voting is central to our democracy. We want to encourage that kind of participation.
Do we have any idea of numbers? And you would know this, and if you say it, I'm going to take it as gospel. So please be honest with me here, because I don't have any information on this. Do we have any idea how many elderly or poor or disabled people don't vote now for whatever reason? I know that the national numbers of people who vote are somewhere about 45% to 50%. Not even half the country votes. But I'm talking about people who are disenfranchised by the system the way it stands now, before the voter ID thing goes into place. How many of those, for whatever reason, don't vote?
People with disabilities vote at a rate of about 35% to 40%.
I'm sorry, say that again.
People with disabilities vote at a rate of about 35% to 40%.
Okay. How can we get that number higher?
By, first of all, making polling places more accessible. But not all polling places in Missouri are accessible for people with disabilities. And by keeping the voting process as simple and as accessible to everyone as possible, the Help America Vote Act is being implemented this year, and it's taken some great steps toward getting people with disabilities voting by putting new, improved, and more accessible voting machines in our polling places. There's also money available to update polling places with things like ramps that will make them more accessible.
Yep, all of those things are important. The place that I vote, I can't believe you have to actually go down steps to get in, and I think, how is somebody in a wheelchair ever going to get in here? Maybe they have a back entrance that I don't know about. But all of those things are absolutely important so that people who do want to get out can get out to vote. I just don't see that this voter ID thing is nearly as huge an obstacle as it seems.
I think the problem is that we will never know how many people don't turn out to their polling place on election day as a result of this. How many people will see additional barriers that are difficult for them to surmount because of time and money and accessibility issues and will not turn out on election day?
All right, Michelle, I appreciate your time today. I'm going to open up my phone line so I can take some phone calls, and I thank you for your time very much.
Thank you.
Michelle Bishop, who's the Disability Vote Project Organizer for Paraquad, a group that advocates for the disabled. My phone number here is 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. You can also email paulharris@kmox.com. We're right back with your calls after this.